Tantor Audio presents Huckleberry Christmas by Jennifer Beckstrand. Narrated by C.S.E. Cooney. Chapter 1. Crouched on her hands and knees, Anna Helmuth shined her flashlight into the darkest corner of the cellar, where old storage boxes and ancient furniture gathered dust. "Felty, dear," she called, hoping her voice carried up the stairs, through the cellar door, and into the kitchen where her husband washed up the dishes. He might not be able to hear her, but she could hear him singing at the top of his lungs. "Each day I'll do a golden deed by helping those who are in need." It was no use. Felty was in one of his singing moods, and Anna wouldn't be able to make him hear her. She grunted as she tried to get to her feet. Her left leg had fallen asleep, and she couldn't budge an inch. Not a single inch. She turned off the flashlight, stowed it in her apron pocket, and slowly pushed herself backward with her hands. Her knees creaked like a pair of rusty hinges as she shifted to a sitting position. Propping her hand on a sturdy cardboard box, she attempted to pull herself up. No use. Her hinder parts would not cooperate. How had she gotten herself into this predicament? She was only 82 years old, for goodness sake, hardly an old lady. It must have been that extra biscuit with strawberry jam she'd eaten for breakfast. She could still hear Felty singing, "While going down life's weary road, I'll try to lift some traveler's load." Oh, how he loved that song. If only he knew how badly his wife needed her load lifted at this very minute. "Felty, dear," she called again. She might be forced to crawl up the stairs. Either that or she could take a lovely nap on the cellar floor, and Felty would notice her absence when supper didn't appear on the table. Anna waited until he took a breath, then yelled as loudly as she could without straining her throat, "Felty, do you have Rhode Island?" The refrain halted abruptly. Felty always attuned his ear to talk of license plates. Smiling at her cleverness, Anna heard him shuffle to the top of the stairs and open the cellar door. "Are you down there, Annie?" "Yeah, and I'm stuck. It wonders me if you could lend a hand." Felty clomped down the steps and peered at her by the dim light from the small window. "My knees gave out," Anna said. Felty reached out both hands and, nearly toppling over himself, pulled Anna to her feet. Anna limped around the cellar, testing her legs for signs of arthritis. "Fit as a fiddle," she finally declared. "Why was you sitting on the floor?" Felty asked.
"I was looking for the baby crib."
"That old crib? I chopped it up for firewood 20 years ago yet."
"Firewood?" Anna propped her hands on her hips. "Felty, that crib cradled our 13 babies.
"And got mighty good use. It was like to collapse with the next baby. So I burned it." Felty's eyes twinkled. "We ain't had a baby in this house for 40 years, and unless you're thinking of bringing another one into the world, it was better as firewood."
"Now, Felty, we need the crib for our great-great-grandson Toby."
"Is he coming for a visit?"
"He and his mother are going to live with us. They'll be here tomorrow."
Felty massaged his forehead, just above his right eyebrow. "Annie, what are you up to?"
"Amos has been gone over a year now, and it's time we found Beth a new husband."
"Beth told her mother she doesn't want a new husband."
"Well, that's silly. I'm sure her mother didn't believe that. Every girl wants a husband, and Beth has a son to consider."
Felty wrapped his arm around his wife of 63 years. "I lost a lot of sleep over your last match, Annie Banani. The doctor says I need a nap every day."
Anna kissed Felty on the cheek. "I can't see how a budding romance will interrupt your daily nap."
Felty sighed in resignation. "Who is the lucky fellow destined for our great-granddaughter?"
"Do you remember Tyler Yoder?"
"Of course I remember him. Our grandson Aiden stole his fiancée."
"Lily and Tyler were never right for each other, but Tyler and Beth are a match made in heaven."
"Made in heaven? Or in an Amish mommy's daydreams?"
"Now, Felty, every match we've ever made has been a success."
Felty grunted. "In spite of us, not because of us."
"Beth needs our help. She's obviously not very good at picking her own husband.
Felty shook his finger.
Don't speak ill of the dead.
Anna turned around and started climbing the stairs. I didn't say a word against Amos. It was more a criticism of Beth.
Where are you going? I still haven't agreed to this.
Seeing as Tyler hasn't set foot here since church 5 months ago, I've got to pay Aiden a visit. I need an excuse to get Tyler to Huckleberry Hill. Aiden still feels guilty about marrying Tyler's fiancée, and when I tell him I found Tyler's match, he'll be eager to help.
Annie, I don't think I can stand any more lovebirds disturbing my peace.
Anna stopped halfway up the stairs. So you admit they fall in love? She grinned. We should buy a crib so the baby doesn't have to sleep in a box. Felty chuckled softly and followed Anna up the stairs.
I slept in a bureau drawer until I turned 3.
What a lovely thought, Felty. I can imagine that you were an adorable baby, like Beth's son, Toby. Cute, lively, and in need of a father.
Every child should have a father, especially our only great-great-grandchild.
I knew you'd come to see it my way. Felty shook his head in resignation as he paused at the top of the stairs to catch his breath.
Did I hear you say something about Rhode Island?
Chapter 2. Tyler Yoder jumped out of his skin as his open-air buggy came around the bend, and he saw a small child standing in the lane directly in the path of his horse. "Ach, du lieve," he yelled, as he pulled hard left on the reins to keep Dobbin from trampling the little boy. The horse swerved sharply and came to a stop a mere 3 feet from the child. The toddler didn't seem to understand how close he'd come to death. As the dust settled, he stared at Dobbin with one finger stuck up his nose and a big grin that revealed a mouthful of tiny teeth. His feet were bare, and his orange-auburn hair perched wildly on top of his head. Tyler had never seen such an adorable child, but why he had the presence of mind to notice he would never know. His legs felt like pillars of gelatin as he set the brake and slid out of the buggy. Breathless and shaking, he ran, or rather stumbled, toward the little boy, who couldn't have been more than 2 years old. Tyler glanced in the direction of the Helmuth's house. What was this child doing out here all by himself? The boy's eyes grew as wide as buggy wheels when he saw Tyler coming toward him, and he turned and ran in the opposite direction, pumping his chubby little arms and giggling with glee. He must have thought Tyler wanted to play tag. Tyler sped up, but didn't catch him before the toddler lost his balance and tumbled to the ground. The boy immediately voiced his indignation with an ear-piercing wail. When he caught his breath, he held it so long Tyler feared he might hyperventilate. The second wail proved louder and more pathetic than the first. Tyler wrapped his hands around the boy's waist and helped him to his feet. The child's whole face turned damp as wetness spouted from his eyes and nose. Unsure of what to do, Tyler pulled a handkerchief out of his pocket and began mopping up the little one's face.
"There, there. No need to cry," he said, in the most comforting voice he could muster.
He caressed his little hand and patted him on the head while whispering, "Hush, hush." The boy stopped crying as suddenly as he had begun. He popped his finger into his mouth, whimpered half-heartedly, and stared at Tyler with wide blue eyes. Tyler lifted the little boy's trouser legs. His knees were red, but the skin wasn't broken, and judging from the fading bruise on his forehead and the small scab on his elbow, he'd been in a few tussles with the ground before. Children this age weren't called toddlers for nothing.
"Let's see what we can do about your trousers," Tyler said,
brushing the dust and gravel from the boy's padded bottom and straightening his pant legs. The boy held out his hands, and Tyler lifted him into his arms. He rested his head on Tyler's shoulder and seemed to settle in for an extended stay.
"Has it been a hard day already, little guy?"
Tyler snapped his head around as he heard a door slam behind him. A young woman, gliding like a fast-moving tornado, stormed across the front yard.
"How dare you!"
She snatched the toddler out of Tyler's arms and held the boy's head protectively against her chest. Tyler remembered her. She was the Helmuth's great-granddaughter Beth, and she used to live in Bondiwell. She'd married a man from Napanee, Indiana, who had passed away recently. Tyler hadn't laid eyes on Beth for 3 or 4 years. At the moment, Beth looked more like a badger than the Helmuth's great-granddaughter,
She practically spit out her words. "Toby is just a baby. You never spank a baby."
"Spank?" Tyler was stunned into silence.
"I turned my back for 1 minute, and then I looked out the window and saw you spanking Toby. Never touch him again, or I'll come at you with a hot poker."
She bounced Toby on her hip as if to comfort him, but he wasn't crying. He didn't even seem upset. Grinning at Tyler, he grabbed onto his own ear and squeezed it with his chubby little fingers. Beth whirled on her heels, stomped across the front yard in half a second, and marched up the porch steps. She nearly ripped the door off its hinges before slamming it behind her. Tyler kneaded the back of his neck. It was going to be a long day. Beth closed the door with such force that it rattled Mommy's front window. She'd done it. She'd stood up to that man and told him what was what. Her heart beat with exhilaration and indignation. The gall he had spanking someone else's child, and a helpless toddler to boot. Mommy stood at the kitchen sink, elbow deep in dishwater. "Is everything all right, dear? You gave me quite a start." Beth held tight to Toby while she struggled to free herself. "I'm sorry, Mommy. Toby must have escaped out the front door. When I looked out the window, a man was spanking him. I ran right out to fetch him." Her legs quivered like overcooked spaghetti. She sat down to catch her breath. Mommy's eyes widened in disbelief. "Who spanked my little pumpkin pie?" Someone tapped on the front door. Beth's heart pounded double time as she stood and peeked out the window. "Him. He's the one." Mommy bustled to Beth's side and stood on her tippy-toes to get a good view of the horrible man standing at the door, waiting to be let in as if he hadn't just offended the entire family. Beth was horrified by Mommy's reaction. Mommy burst into a grin the size of the sky, clapped her hands, and almost tripped over her feet trying to reach the door. She flung it open and flung out her arms to greet the visitor. "Tyler Yoder, you are a sight for sore eyes yet." Beth's arms tightened around Toby as Tyler walked into the room, his steps tentative, his brow dark and furrowed. Tyler Yoder. He had looked slightly familiar. Beth remembered seeing him at gatherings and sing-ins before she married Amos and left Bondiwell, but she didn't remember him very well. After she had met Amos Haustetler, she hadn't noticed any other boys, even the good-looking ones. Despite her hostility, she eyed Tyler appreciatively. He turned out quite nice to look at. But he was still a dirty rat. Tyler took off his hat and glanced at Beth as if she would pounce on him. "I'm meeting Aiden here."
"Come, sit down," Mommy said. "Beth made some cookies. Would you like a cookie?"
Beth wouldn't stand for being in the same room with such a person, even if Mommy acted as if an angel had crossed their threshold.
"I'm going to my room," she said, still gripping wiggly Toby in her arms. Tyler jumped to attention. "Wait, I'm not sure why you're so mad at me, but I want to apologize."
"Apologize? Since when does a man like you apologize?"
"A man like me?" He seemed more puzzled than angry at her insult. "What do you mean?"
"A man who hits little children." He bowed his head and looked as if he had been stricken with some very bad news. His humility surprised her.
"I would never hit a child."
"I saw you from the window."
He fixed Beth with an earnest gaze. "I don't want you to think I'm looking for an argument, but that's not what happened. I almost ran over him and..."
Beth felt the heat rise in her cheeks as if she'd swallowed a boiling pot of tea. "You almost ran over him?"
"I didn't expect to see a baby playing outside unsupervised."
Beth pressed her lips into a hard line and bounced Toby up and down with renewed intensity. "So now you think I'm a bad mother?" She tightened one arm around Toby and poked Tyler forcefully in the chest with her finger, just to back him up a bit. "Let me tell you something. It's not easy to raise a son by myself. Don't judge me until you walk in my shoes. And don't preach to me, either." Tyler took a step back.
"I'm sorry if you think I'm preaching. I'm just grateful I stopped the horse in time."
"Were you mad because he spooked your horse? Is that why you spanked a 20-month-old?" With her hand still on the doorknob, Mommy stood frozen in place, grinning, as if she thought their confrontation was wildly entertaining. Tyler's frown deepened.
"I didn't spank anybody, and may the good Lord forgive me if I ever do."
He lifted his hands in surrender. What do you think you saw? I brushed the dust off his trousers. He fell down and I helped him up. No spanking involved. He gave me a shock, but I wasn't angry. Beth examined his expression and found only sincerity there. His eyes and face didn't hold one spark of anger. She hadn't expected that. Even the smallest things used to set Amos off. Toby pushed away from her and reached out to Tyler. Beth's jaw dropped to the floor and she took a step back. Toby only struggled harder against her grip.
"Thou! Thou!" he said.
Beth reluctantly set her son on his feet, and Toby immediately stretched out his hands for Tyler. Tyler backed away, and Toby followed him, whining to be held. He backed Tyler to the wall, and Tyler acted as if a guard dog had cornered him. Her mouth curled in amusement. Perhaps she'd been a bit hasty. Maybe what she thought she'd seen wasn't what she'd actually seen. It was possible that Tyler had only been trying to help. Tyler cocked an eyebrow and twitched his lips upward. "I'll pick him up if you promise not to attack me with a hot poker." Beth knew she must be blushing clear to the tips of her toes. She'd made a complete fool of herself. Tyler's intense scrutiny only succeeded in heightening her embarrassment. "Go ahead. He's taken with you already." Tyler scooped Toby into his arms, and Toby wasted no time in snuggling against Tyler's shoulder. "I'm sorry I got mad." Beth studied Tyler's solemn expression. She shouldn't have accused him so harshly. "I'm really, really sorry."
"I'm not mad."
"I hurt your feelings."
"Nay."
"But you look so serious," Beth insisted.
"So I've been told."
Mommy finally shut the door and gave Tyler's arm a pat. Tyler is not inclined to smile, but a finer man you'll never meet. Not inclined to smile? Mommy must be trying to make her feel better. If Tyler hadn't been attacked by a crazed mother, he'd be inclined to smile. Beth felt the need to wipe that serious look off his face. Surely he would smile if he knew she bore him no ill will. "I panicked when I couldn't find Toby. When I glanced out the window and saw you with him, I guess I wasn't thinking straight."
"It's okay. I would have been frantic if I had lost my son."
He played with Toby's silky soft fingers.
"He must have an angel watching over him.
Dobbins stopped just in time, praise the Lord." "Praise the Lord indeed," Mommy said. "I have to get used to having a little one again. I forgot to shut the door on my way in from the garden." Mommy's eyes twinkled as her gaze darted between Beth and Tyler. "I think I'll go see what Felty is up to." She practically skipped down the hall without another word. Toby reached for the floor. Tyler set him down. A grin played at his lips as he watched Toby toddle to the rug and pat Mommy's dog, Sparky. Beth tilted her head and gazed at Tyler. He might be of a solemn disposition, but he seemed inclined to smile at Toby. Tyler's piercing look caught her attention.
"He has your eyes," he said.
Beth wanted to smack herself as she felt a blush warm her face. She should have passed the shy schoolgirl stage years ago.
"Dang ye. Most people tell me he looks like his father. There's a lot of you in him, too."
His gaze intensified and made Beth squirm a little. "He has my temper," she said. The hint of a smile traveled across his face before he cleared his throat and snapped out of whatever thought had distracted him.
"Are you in town for a visit?"
Beth recited her carefully rehearsed explanation. "We're staying with Mommy and Daddy until we can find a place of our own in Bonduelle.
I'll keep my eye out. There was a nice little cottage north on 117, but it sold 3 weeks ago."
"Out by the Miller's farm?"
Tyler nodded. "You remember that old barn?"
"Yeah, Mom said it burned down 6 months ago."
"A blessing in disguise. If the fire hadn't taken it, it might have toppled in a windstorm and hurt somebody."
Beth laughed at the memory of that old barn, so rickety that it creaked in a breeze, and so charming that De Jungi gathered there almost every week. Toby could have given it a good shove and knocked it down. We had some fun gatherings there. Her mind wandered back to the days of volleyball and Rumspringa and independence, blissfully happy years before her marriage. "Amos complained that I loved that rope swing more than I loved..." She lowered her eyes before she finished her sentence. She didn't want to think of Amos today. Deep lines of concern dug themselves into Tyler's face.
"I was sorry to hear about your husband's car accident."
"We are comforted that he is with God." another carefully rehearsed response.
With a new baby, you must have been devastated. How long has it been?
Over a year, last June. Toby was not 6 months old. The deep compassion in his eyes surprised her.
It must be hard to be left all alone like that with a baby to care for. I'm sure it was a great comfort to have Amos's family share the burden of your grief.
Yeah, was all Beth could muster. She had stayed in that oppressive house for months, aching to return to Bondwell, knowing she would be callous indeed to up and leave the family so soon after Amos's death. Amos's mom, Treva, had been battling cancer when Amos passed away. No matter how Beth had yearned to be away from the Hausdettlers, she couldn't have abandoned Treva, as sick as she had been.
Tyler misinterpreted the pain that surely must have shown on Beth's face. He radiated genuine sympathy. You must miss him very much.
I don't deserve your kindness, Tyler. I was overjoyed to have escaped Napanee, Indiana, and the Hausdettlers.
Noncommittal answers were almost second nature to her now.
He is with God now. I rejoice in that.
In more ways than one. My heart is blacker than the bottom of the deepest well.
An awkward silence followed. Beth refused to say more about Amos than necessary, and it appeared that Tyler had run out of words of consolation. Either that or he didn't want to stir up Beth's painful memories unnecessarily. Well, she had plenty of bad memories, but probably not the kind Tyler imagined. He studied her face for several seconds before clearing his throat.
Anna said you made cookies.
Oh, yes. She retrieved the plate from the counter and held it out to him. I'm not that good of a cook, but they do have chocolate chips in them. Chocolate makes everything taste better.
Toby saw the plate of goodies and skipped to Beth's side. Beth sat down and handed him a cookie. Tyler sat next to Beth at the table and lifted Toby onto his lap.
Be careful, Beth said. Toby likes to take a bite, spit it into his hand, examine it, and then put it back in his mouth. He ends up quite messy.
Tyler scooted Toby to a more secure position onto his lap.
I'd consider it an honor to be smeared with cookie goo. Babies don't grant their affection to just anybody.
Beth couldn't seem to pull her gaze from the sight of Toby cradled safely in Tyler's arms, arms that clearly did heavy work. A man didn't get muscles like those by sitting around and yelling at his wife all day.
The memory felt as if someone had poked her, compelling her to rise from her chair and giving her a reason to pull herself from Tyler's gaze.
Would you like some milk?
She quickly collected herself and shot him a teasing grin. You might have to soak them for a few minutes. My cookies always turn out dry. Not on purpose, of course.
Tyler snatched one from the plate and took a hearty bite.
These are delicious, just the way I like them.
Beth tried not to take too much satisfaction in what he said. He was only trying to be polite. She poured milk into two cups and set both on the table.
One for Toby and one for you, just in case.
Tyler helped Toby drink his milk, which dribbled down his chin and the front of his shirt and dripped onto Tyler's trousers. Tyler didn't even flinch. As they ate, Beth tried her best to wipe Toby's face after every bite of cookie so Tyler's shirt wouldn't be a complete mess. He actually grinned when Toby waved his hands back and forth and bits of soggy cookie ended up in Tyler's shiny black-brown hair.
Oh, Toby, Beth said, look what you've done.
A rag proved insufficient to clean up Toby's gloppy hands, so Beth carted him to the sink. Once Beth washed Toby's hands under the running water, she set him down to play with Sparky.
Now, she said, glancing at Tyler and dampening a dish towel, let's see what we can do about your hair.
Tyler propped his elbow on the table and rested his chin in his hand.
I kind of like it. Birds can land on my head and eat.
Beth giggled. Standing behind him, she used the towel to pluck Toby's mess from Tyler's hair. This close, she could catch his manly scent. He smelled of freshly mown hay at autumn time. The distracting aroma took her to a grassy meadow, where she pictured herself picking wildflowers while she strolled hand in hand with Tyler Yoder. She jerked her fingers from his hair and unwittingly pulled out four strands by the roots. With his chin still resting on his hand, he glanced at her out of the corner of his eye.
It must be in there like glue.
Sorry, I got carried away. It won't happen again.
I don't mind.
She finished his hair, took the dish towel to the sink, and busied herself rinsing it out so she could gather her unruly wits. She'd promised herself that she would never, ever consider another boy again for any reason. That promise was always fresh in her mind. To be sure, Tyler smelled wonderful, but no amount of tempting fragrance should weaken her resolve.
I must be coming down with something.
Tyler looked slightly flushed as he stood, donned his hat, and grabbed another cookie.
I don't think Aiden is going to show up, and Dad is waiting for help at the dairy. Will I see you at Gourmet on Sunday?
Lord willing. He strode across the room to where Toby played with three balls. Tyler squatted to be eye level with him and laid a light kiss on his cheek.
Goodbye, Toby. Stay out of the road.
Toby waved and called forth a smile from Tyler.
Bye-bye.
Beth pursed her lips to keep from smiling as Tyler glided out the door. He had eaten three cookies and hadn't taken one swig of milk. She took a deep breath and reminded herself of her promise. She didn't want a man in her life ever again. She felt perfectly happy being alone, answering to no one but God. Beth didn't pay any particular attention to what went on out the window as Tyler jumped into his open-air buggy and drove away. He had a beautiful horse, and very nice posture, and an able hand at the reins. She barely noticed his departure, or her heart drumming a cadence she hadn't heard for a very long time. Chapter 3. Beth glanced out the window and groaned softly. She shouldn't have gone to church on Sunday. The vultures were already circling. She wiped the ketchup from Toby's face and hands before lifting him out of the high chair to let him run free around the great room. Running free was Toby's favorite activity. Beth's too. Getting down on her hands and knees, Beth picked up the remnants of Toby's breakfast. Toby liked to feed himself, but when he had his fill, he hurled his leftovers off the tray. The floor never stayed clean. Mommy came from outside with her egg basket. Her eyes twinkled, but her lips parted in an expression of befuddlement.
Oh, dear, Beth, you have a visitor.
Beth stood and threw away the last of Toby's toast.
I saw.
What are you going to do? Beth huffed in exasperation and stifled a sorry grin.
I don't want to hurt his feelings, Mommy, but he's old enough to be my dad.
Mommy slumped her shoulders.
He brought flowers.
A pathetic giggle burst from Beth's lips. I wish men wouldn't feel the need to kill a perfectly good plant for me. Mommy propped her hands on her hips.
These eager suitors need to make way for your true match. You'll never get a chance to fall in love when all these other men make pests of themselves.
I can take care of myself. I don't want a husband. The very thought dampened her spirits. In Napanee, unwanted suitors had swooped in after the one-year anniversary of Amos's death. She had refused three men before July had come and gone.
Well, I know you don't want Alvin Hoover. I'll march right out there and tell him to go home.
Nay, Mommy, I'll talk to him.
Do you think a knitted potholder would make him feel better?
Yeah, everybody loves your potholders. Mommy peeked out the window.
A sweater might be better. As pretty as you are, you're bound to break his heart.
Beth dried her hands and kissed Mommy on the cheek. I'm as plain as the nose on your face. The men in Bondwell have poor eyesight.
Mommy giggled. They can see well enough.
Alvin Hoover wants a housekeeper more than he wants a wife. Mommy pulled a bright yellow potholder from her closet.
I think the poor man doesn't want just any wife. He's hoping for a pretty one.
Beth tied her bonnet under her chin.
I'm as plain as an unvarnished fence post.
Mommy would not be persuaded. She winked and handed Beth the potholder.
Alvin Hoover must be partial to fence posts.
Beth arched an eyebrow in amusement and stepped outside. Broad and firmly built, Alvin Hoover didn't stand quite as tall as Beth, but he must have considered himself tall enough to have a chance with her. Strands of gray hair peppered his chestnut-brown beard, and a decidedly deep furrow set directly between his eyebrows. He held his bouquet of flowers at his side, with the blooms pointed toward the ground as if he were planning on sweeping the dirt with them. He chatted cheerfully with Dottie about the weather, like old men always did. Beth's dad would be indignant if he could hear her thoughts.
45 isn't old. Alvin Hoover is in his best years, he would say.
Dad was 48. He considered anyone under 60 to be in the prime of his life. Alvin squared his shoulders when he caught sight of Beth. He lifted the bouquet directly in front of him, as if he were posing for a picture.
Well, hello, Beth.
Dottie placed a hand on Alvin's shoulder. Good to talk to you, Alvin. Let me know when you slaughter that hog.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?